You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
The teaching this morning will lead right into this time of Christmas where we celebrate the birth of the Messiah. But if you would right now, please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. King James Version probably says the Christ. NASB is Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is the way the Gospels in Matthew starts out, with this acknowledgement that Jesus is the Messiah. And then two men specifically are mentioned here to start this genealogy. He's called the son of David, the son of Abraham. I mean, he's the son of a lot of people. He could have put the son of Jacob, the son of Israel. I mean, if they wanted, it could have put the son of Judah. He was of the tribe of Judah. But why specifically these two? Abraham and David. Because as we saw a few weeks ago in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures is a more accurate term, that there was an everlasting covenant given to Abraham, that from his seed they would inherit the earth, that from Abraham's children there would be an inheritance that would inherit the entire earth. And this was the great everlasting covenant. There's two great everlasting covenants that are important here in Matthew. The second covenant was a covenant to David, to King David. And on these two everlasting covenants, our hope today rests also. And here in Matthew, it acknowledges that David, Jesus, is this son of David. He's this son of Abraham. And this morning, I'd like to take a little bit more look at this understanding of that Jesus is the Messiah, what that means, and the everlasting covenant that was given to David. And as we celebrate Christmas this time of year, what was the importance of this child that was born? Who was he? I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that what I'm going to teach you this morning, I didn't know for my first 20 years of Christianity. I kind of knew it, but I didn't really know who Jesus was, what it means that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. You see, maybe you didn't know this before, but Christ is not Jesus' last name. It wasn't that there was a Mr. Christ and a Mrs. Christ, and they had a baby, and this was baby Christ. You're going to see that Christ is the Greek equivalent from the Hebrew, from we get the word the Messiah. And this is a designation from Yahweh to designate his anointed one who is going to rule on his behalf on the earth. It's a very important understanding. If you don't understand what I'm going to show you today, you really don't understand who Jesus is. And you don't really understand the importance of this child that was born in Bethlehem. You can turn to 1 Samuel. I think I made a few mistakes on the notes this week. It should be 1 Samuel, not 1 Chronicles. 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. But when we go back to the Abrahamic covenant that we looked at a few weeks ago, one of the promises that was made in the covenant and in the promises to Abraham was that kings would come out of him. That he would have kings that would be born from his seed. There's 400 years from the birth of Abraham's son Isaac to the time the children of Israel were led out of Egypt and brought to Mount Horeb, which we also looked at a few weeks ago, where they received the law. That was the old covenant. But that old covenant did not disannul the Abrahamic covenant, nor does it disannul the Davidic covenant. Those two covenants were everlasting. Israel then was a nation. When they came out of Egypt, they went into the promised land. They were a nation with millions of people. But for almost 400 years or so, they didn't have a king. They were ruled by judges. It was a theocracy, is what you would call the government that they had. And they were ruled by judges. They did not have a king. And after about 400 years or so, a man named Samuel was born. Samuel is the last great judge of the judges of Israel. And really, he is the first in the line of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Samuel is a very important man in the Old Testament. And Samuel, when Samuel was a judge, the people of Israel came to Samuel and said, "We want a king like all the other nations." And God said, "Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. It's okay. We'll give them a king. But we're going to give them the type of king that I choose. I'm going to choose the king. I'm going to anoint the one. I'm going to select the one that will be over my people." And so Samuel anointed the first king of Israel, whose name was Saul. And Saul ruled for about 40 years. Then Samuel also anointed the second king, David. He anointed David. And actually, when he anointed David, David was a young man. I'll look at that later. But here in 1 Samuel, the way Samuel was born is also quite a miracle. His mother Hannah couldn't have children. And she went and she prayed and she told God, "If you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you." And she got pregnant. And she had a baby. And that baby was this man, Samuel. And I'd like to read to you here from 1 Samuel 2. After she had that child, she was so blessed. And Hannah prophesies, and it's quite a prophecy. But here in verse 10, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. In this prophecy of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, she said, "Those who contend with Yahweh will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth." This is the prophecy to this man Samuel. Yahweh is going to judge the ends of the earth. How's he going to do this? This is an incredible prophecy. How is Yahweh going to judge to the ends of the earth? He will give strength to his king. Yahweh is going to have a king on behalf of him, and he will exalt the horn of his anointed. This is this prophecy about the ones that Samuel is about to anoint. Now, you see the words here at the end of verse 10? He will exalt the horn of his anointed. That word in the Hebrew is the word Mashiach. Mashiach. The word anoint is Mashach. The word anointed is Mashiach. What English word do we get from Mashiach? Messiah. So what Hannah prophesied was that he is going to rule the earth, give strength to his king through this Mashiach, this Messiah. This Messiah, this anointed. I put in your notes, I think in your notes I have anointed of the Lord. I changed it when I was doing the slides here because it's really more accurately, he's the anointed of Yahweh. It's always that way when it says the anointed of Yahweh. It's the anointed of Yahweh. Yahweh is our God. This Messiah is the anointed. It's Yahweh's anointed, his Messiah, his Mashiach. The Hebrew word Mashiach, from which we get what's called the Old Testament, has a New Testament Greek equivalent, and that is this Greek word, Christos. Christos. What English word do you think we get from the word Christos? Christ. Messiah, Old Testament. Christ, New Testament. Messiah, Hebrew Scriptures. Christ, Greek. Same meaning. Right? So if you say Jesus is the Messiah, or if you say Jesus Christ, you're saying the same thing. The Christ is the Messiah, which is the Lord's anointed, Yahweh's anointed, the one whom he anointed. I have in the notes on the slide here, John 1:41, but this is how it reads in the NASB. It says, he first, when they find Jesus, first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, and then in parentheses, which is in the text, which translated means what? Christ. It defines it right there in the introduction of Jesus. We have found the Messiah, the anointed of the Lord, which translated means the Christ. He is the Christ. The Hebrew word Mashiach is equivalent to the Greek word Christos. Both words mean Christ or Messiah, mean anointed, the anointed one. Now, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, we're not going to go in depth into this, but you'll find that there's actually three individuals in the Old Testament that were anointed. One was the priest. The priest at times was called the anointed. The prophets were anointed. The prophets were anointed of Yahweh. And then probably the one that we're going to dwell on here this morning, which is most commonly understood when we talk about Messiah, is the king. The king of Israel was the Lord's anointed one. He was anointed of Yahweh. This morning we're going to focus on this king that would be born. As I mentioned, the prophet Samuel anointed both the first king of Israel. You can read that in 1 Samuel 10:1 if you want to write that down. And he anointed the second king of Israel, David. If you follow the record, it's quite something. It's in 1 Samuel 16. God rejects Saul. Saul is disobedient, and God rejects him from being king. And God tells Samuel, I'm going to send you to a man who's after my own heart, and you're going to anoint him as king. And he goes, guess what city he goes to? Bethlehem. He goes to Bethlehem. And in the city of Bethlehem, he goes to the household of Jesse. And he comes to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And he brings the eldest in. And you know what Samuel says when he sees the son of Jesse? He says, surely, whoa, look at this guy. Surely, this is the Lord's anointed. Mashiach, Messiah. He looks at the oldest son of Jesse. He says, surely, this one is the Messiah. And then God says to Samuel, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. It's not him. No, that's not him. He brings those other sons before him. I think he parades like four children. And God says, that's not him. And then he says to Jesse, he says, you got any more children? He says, I got the youngest. He's out with the sheep. He says, call him in. He brings in David, a young teenager. And there before his family in Bethlehem, he anoints Mashiach. He anoints David as king over his people. He is the Messiah at that point. And then David raises up. And actually, I think David was anointed three times. One with Samuel, once at Hebron, and then once in Jerusalem. I think he was anointed three times as the Lord's Messiah. But that's how it started out. It's a great record sometime, 1 Samuel 16. But I'd like you to turn right now to 2 Samuel chapter 5. This is after David has grown. Saul has died. The nation of Israel is now under David. There was a seven-year kind of time where David was in Hebron, and the household of Benjamin was fighting, but they all came together in Hebron finally after 7 years, and they anoint David. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and in verse 1, it says, "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And Yahweh said to you, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be ruler over Israel." So all the elders came to the king at Hebron before David and made a covenant with them before Yahweh at Hebron. Then they anointed Mashiach, Messiah. They anointed David, king over Israel. You see, it was God's kingdom. Israel were God's people. The children of Israel were God's people. But now David sat on the throne, ruling God's people, shepherding God's people. He, the Messiah, was God's representative on the earth to rule for Yahweh. It's really a simple concept. And for years I didn't even know this. But this is what it means to be the Messiah. To rule God's people and to shepherd God's people on behalf of Yahweh. It's a great truth. And I tell you what, once you get this and you understand it, so much makes sense as to who Jesus is. And to why he is who he is. And what it means that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of Yahweh. Look at 1 Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. Here's a Bible quiz. What son of David fouled on his behalf and was the king fouling David? You guys are good. Solomon. After 40 years of being king, David then comes and he anoints Mashiach, his son Solomon, to take over on his behalf. 1 Kings is one of these anointings of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 34 and 35. This is with Nathan the prophet and Zadok the high priest. And here in this private ceremony, they anoint Solomon. 1 Kings 1, verse 34. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet what? Anoint Mashiach, him, there as king over Israel, and blow the trumpets and say, "Long live King Solomon." Then you, Solomon, shall come up after him, and he, Solomon, shall come and sit on my throne. David says, Solomon is going to come. Listen, this is really important. Solomon is going to come and he's going to sit on my throne. Right? David's throne. Got it? You with me? Okay? 1 Chronicles. That's 1 Second Kings, 1 Chronicles. This is awesome. I mean, this makes so much sense. And it fits so much together for you. First Chronicles 29. Look at this. This is great. This is the public anointing of Solomon at the time when David brought all Israel together in Jerusalem. They bring all Israel together in Jerusalem to have Solomon be the next Messiah, the next anointed of Yahweh, right? David is king. He is Yahweh's anointed. And the people come together. And look what it says in verse 20. Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless Yahweh your God." Look at this. And all the assembly blessed Yahweh, the God of their fathers. And look at the next part of this verse. And bowed low and did homage to Yahweh and to the king. What does that mean? They bowed, they worshiped the king. They worshiped him. They worshiped Yahweh and they worshiped the king. Now, let me ask you a question. Was there any one of those people in Israel that had anything in their mind that David was God?
No.
Really?
No.
Were they confused on what they were doing? No, they bowed. They bowed to Yahweh and to his Mashiach, the anointed of Yahweh, because that king represents the creator of heavens and earth on the earth. He is the Messiah who is going to rule for Yahweh. It's beautiful. Now, does this now make sense about Jesus? Just to start thinking, Once I got this, it's like, it makes so much sense. Now, look what it says here, verse 22. It says, "So they ate and drank that day before Yahweh with great gladness, and they made Solomon the son of David king a second time, and they anointed him." Mashiach, they made him the Messiah as ruler for Yahweh, right? He is the Messiah, the ruler for Yahweh, and Zadok the high priest. Verse 23, then Solomon sat on the throne of who? Yahweh, as king instead of David, his father. No, wait a minute. Well, didn't we just read in 1 Kings that he sat on the throne of David? In First Chronicles here it says, then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh instead of David his father. In 1 Kings 35, it says, then you, Solomon, shall come after him, and he shall come and sit down on my throne, on David's throne, to be king in my place. Well, which is it? Is it David's throne or is it Yahweh's throne? It's both. It's Yahweh's throne. He is God, and his Messiah sits on it. Don't you get it? That is why it is called in the New Testament the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Messiah. It's so simple, right? It's so simple understanding. But if you don't get to understand what the Messiah is, you really don't know what it means. When they came to the shepherds, came and they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus the Messiah, our Lord. They knew what he was talking about. Well, let's see a little bit more about what they were talking about. First Chronicles chapter 17. The other thing to understand here is the covenant that was made with David. After David became king, one of the great things he did is he took the city of Jerusalem. For all the time of the judges, the city of Jerusalem was run by the Jebusites. They never took Jerusalem. They take Jerusalem, and David brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and puts it under a tent. And that at the time is called the Tabernacle of David, where they brought the Ark in and they worshiped. And David brought the whole nation into a loving. In the morning, they would rise up in Zion and sing praises to God, the priest. And at night, they would sing praises as the people went to bed. David brought the nation into a loving, harmonious relationship with Yahweh as the Messiah ruling the people in the city of David. All right? Then David says in chapter 17, David's sitting here, and it came about, verse 17, when David dwelt in his house, David's got a nice house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Behold, I'm dwelling in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of Yahweh is under curtains." Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." David said, "Geez, the ark, it's just in a tent. I have a house. It doesn't seem right. I'd like to build God a house," right? Watch this response from God. "And it came about that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell David my servant, thus says Yahweh, you shall not build a house for me to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up Israel to this day. But I have gone from tent to tent, from dwelling place to another. In all places where I have walked with all Israel, have I spoken a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to the shepherd of my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" He says, "David, that I never complained." Right? "Did I ever say, build me a house?" I never told him that. "Now therefore, thus shall you say, servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from fouling the sheep, to be a leader over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make you a name like the name of the great ones who are in the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and not be moved again, and the wicked will not waste them any more as formerly. Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will subdue all your enemies. Moreover, I tell you that Yahweh will build a house for you." Verse 10. He said, "David, I'm building you a house. Listen up. When your days are fulfilled, that you must go be with your fathers, I will set up one of your descendants after you. I'm going to set up one of your descendants after you who will be of your sons. He's going to come from your bloodline, David. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build for me a house. And I will establish his throne," how long? "Forever." David, this son of yours, his kingdom is going to go on forever. Look at this. This is what God also says about this one that is going to be born from David. "I will be his father. And he will be my son. And I will not take my loving kindness away from him as I took it away from those before you, but I will settle him in my throne and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." That, ladies and gentlemen, is the promise of the coming Messiah, the one that would be born of the seed of David. And then this one that's going to be born, a descendant from David, his kingdom will have no end. And he will rule forever. Amen, huh? Yeah. David was like, that's pretty cool stuff. Now, this is the promise. But as with Abraham, where God made promises to Abraham, he then cut a covenant with Abraham. And if you remember, right, there was the covenant of circumcision, there was another covenant, and there were blood covenants. Blood was shed. He made a blood covenant with Abraham about the Abrahamic covenant. David also was given a covenant. And in Psalm 89, here up in the slides, it says, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed forever. And I will build up your throne to all generations." David, not only was it promised, God committed himself to this promise to David with a covenant that it would absolutely come to pass because Yahweh made a covenant with his man David. That from his descendants, one is going to come who is going to be the Mashiach, the Messiah who will rule the world. It's going to come from your seed, David. And God made a covenant with David. Now, unlike the Abrahamic covenant, I told you, was a blood covenant. The covenant with David was a salt covenant. And that's from 2 Chronicles 13:5 on your notes. Do you not know that Yahweh your God gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? God made a covenant of salt with David, that from his seed would come the one that would rule. Now, you follow the nation of Israel and Judah. Sean, I think, shared with last week, the nation split up. And then the prophets spoke about these things. 586 B.C., the last kings of Judah were not really good. They were all from the seed of David, but they weren't really good. In fact, the last king of David, the last king of Israel, the king of Babylon brought him. He brought all his sons before him, and he killed all the sons of the last king of Israel, then cut out his eyes and took him into Babylon. The whole nation of Judah was taken into Babylon. And the people were wondering, where's our hope? Nation of Israel was no more. Judah was gone. The temple was destroyed. The last king of Israel, all his sons were killed. And so it didn't look really good. But God made a covenant. And Jeremiah the prophet, I love this, what he says in Jeremiah 33:20. Thus says Yahweh, he says to the people of Judah, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he will not have a son to reign on his throne. God says, if you could stop day and night, then maybe you could stop my covenant to have a child, a descendant of David, to sit on my throne. One of the other sons of David was already taken into captivity into Babylon. And the lineage of David continued in Babylon. So then you follow history here. The northern kingdom of Israel was overthrown and taken to captivity to Assyria. About 120 years later, the southern kingdom of Judah was overthrown and taken captivity into Babylon. 70 years later, a group of Judeans returned to the land of Israel, started rebuilding the temple, and dwelt in the land. For a brief period of time, Israel was a nation again under the Hasmonean leadership. But I believe the Maccabeans, they were not Judean line. I believe they were Levitical lines. They would not have qualified as sons of David. But Israel was a nation temporarily then. Around 63 BC, the Roman Empire invaded Israel, and by 37 BC, Israel became a client state under the authority of Rome. And they were put under King Herod. King Herod ruled over Judea for the Roman Empire. It had been over 550 years since the last descendant of David ruled as Yahweh's anointed over God's people. But God would keep his promise. God made a covenant, and God was going to bring to pass the Messiah, born of a woman, born of the household of David. And it was at this time in history, before what historians call the Common Era, when the angel Gabriel visited the small village of Nazareth. in Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. You get it? They were of the descendants. Both Joseph and Mary were of the household of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And look at this, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Holy Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." And in verse 37, the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word."
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org and subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on new teachings, classes, and events. See you next week.